Welcome to Minnesota. 239.
4 million.
4 million. One day.
Yes.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, man. I'm fucking emotionally and creatively drained.
Yeah.
After that giant Charles Manson chunk of reading that I just did.
Laid the foundation quite well.
I feel like there should be questions, but you should understand what happened. And I feel like that's where I'm at.
Questions back specifically because you said next episode is the one.
Yeah, we'll have a question fest at the beginning of next episode also where we'll talk about some stuff. But I did promise thee, as part of the Charles Manson episode, a fully scripted minisode called The Ballad of Bobby Beausoleil, which I've got here for you right now. You guys want to just get right into it?
Please sing us the ballad. Okay.
So this little side story is based on an article from 2019 that's in Rolling Stone. And it chucks us back in with Bobby, age 72 now, after having spent 50 years in jail for the murder of Gary Hinman, and who, try as he might, still can't get out from under the specter of Charles Manson, who, by the way, has been dead since 2017. So sitting in the visitor's room, he says he's a Buddhist now and that he's, quote, accepted full responsibility for his actions in killing Mr. Hinman, who was his friend, by the way. And in 2019, after 18 rejections, he finds himself recommended for parole because he was no longer, quote, an unreasonable risk to society. But still, there's some question of how his hearing might go, since most people don't have access to BioTime cameras like we do at the Chiluminati Biofilm Institute to see how things really happen. And there's been lots of different versions of how things went down over the years. But this time, in the wake of a psychological assessment from 2016, it looks like he might be coming home if the new governor, Gavin Newsom, decides to go along with the board. So Beausoleil's hopeful and even starts making plans and saying goodbyes to people in prison. And back in the mid-60s, after a youth spent being kind of a troublemaker, Bobby made kind of a name for himself in the music world. Here's a quote from the Rolling Stone article, which is by Eric Hedegaard and called The Last Manson Mystery for Mathis to Read, that sort of tells Bobby's story here. So here's for Mathis. Jeez.
In San Francisco, he fronted a band called the Orchestra. Does it pronounce it Orchestra, right?
Yeah.
It's spelled like O-R-K.
Yeah.
That at one point played alongside the Grateful Dead, and for a moment he played rhythm guitar in what would become the seminal psychedelic group Love. He was a baby-faced kid who was nicknamed Cupid and wore a top hat around town, carrying himself with enough cool cat swagger that underground filmmaker Kenneth Anger cast him in a movie project, Lucifer Rising. Like everyone else in those days, he was full on into being a rebel, but then he drifted south from San Francisco in 1968, met Manson playing music at some roadhouse around L.A., thought he was talented, spent time where Manson lived with his gang at Spahn Ranch, had a blast-roaring army surplus wagons through Death Valley, never considered himself a member of the Manson tribe, just liked hanging around them, laughing, getting high, having sex, playing music, being free.
Yeah, and here's a quote about that from Bobby Beausoleil himself from about that time, which is for Jesse to read right here.
Man, it was great. That's what people don't get. At first, it was just fun. Then again, maybe that's just what Charlie chose to show me, the happy-go-lucky, lighthearted vagabond musician, when he wasn't being so many other things to other people. Whatever works in the moment, that was Charlie's unifying philosophy.
I don't know. I imagine we'll talk a little bit about it next episode, but like, with his girls particular, he would heavily like give them way more LSD than he was taking and use that to like
basically manipulate them psychologically. There's this sort of state that may or may not, you know, be triggered by LSD that makes you very, very suggestible.
Yeah.
And there's a whole sector of research in a very, very conspicuous project that's often associated with our fine show that we will talk about a little bit next week. There'll be like
That's what I figured. It was
there'll be like
week, but
lore, like reappearances from like other Time Lords from previous Doctor Who incarnations that show up next week.
We had fucking Son of Sam pop up briefly in the main episode.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. And
at that time, the 60s were fucking, from what, like, from the outside, the 60s were fucking crazy.
The 60s was like, it looks exactly like today. Everybody kind of thinks it's the same as it was in the 60s, but it might as well be cowboy times.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. The 60s are cowboy times in 90s clothes. It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bobby Beausoleil still plays music today. He even completed the soundtrack to that movie, Lucifer Rising, for Kenneth Anger, while he was in prison. He also released 6 other albums. He's led several prison bands. He made a custom acoustic electric guitar with a soldering iron and paper clips and a battery.
That's crazy.
Even makes all kinds of crazy visual art. He also meets with movie stars sometimes about scoring projects, including the legendary character actor Holt McCallany. If you don't know him, he's from like Mindhunter and a bunch of other stuff. He's like the kind of like, he always plays like a guy in a FBI type role.
That kind of
he's
guy.
Like, yeah, he's yeah. like the other guy who's not Jonathan Groff from Mindhunter, who is an agent. And Holt McCallany had this to say about Bobby Beausoleil, which Mathis will read for us now.
He's been a model prisoner. Having met him and talked with him, my very clear sense is that this is a guy who just wants to try to rebuild what remains of his life. The notion that he would kill again is preposterous. And if he hadn't been tainted by his association with Manson, he would have been paroled long ago.
And here's even a quote for Jesse to read from Bobby about what he wants to do when he gets out of jail. So here you go.
Is it LSD?
No.
First thing, I like to get a dog. I'm 71 years old. I still got women competing with each other over me, and I don't know what the hell that's about. I was married for 31 years to a wonderful human being, and when she died, I don't want to pair up again.
This is a different version of Jesse, hook up. I feel like. Jesus.
Yeah.
I just want to be a bachelor and adopt a companion, which is how I did it when I was on the streets before. The only time I've ever gotten into trouble is when I didn't have a dog. Last one I had was named Hocus.
Yeah, this other thing, this has got flavors of Jesse in there, especially when it comes to being like a ladies' man.
Kind of remember, situation. he's almost 80 now because this was in 2019.
That's crazy.
In April of 2019, Gavin Newsom just reversed the decision of the parole board, saying that he knew Beausoleil was only 21 when he did the crime and that he'd been bettering himself in prison, but that still didn't let Newsom get past the crime and the horrificness of it himself. And here is Mathis with a quote from Governor Gavin Newsom.
Mr. Beausoleil helped perpetrate the first of the Manson family's atrocious, high-profile murders in an attempt to start a civilization-ending race war. Mr. Beausoleil and other Manson family members kept Mr. Hinman hostage and tortured him over several days in an attempt to finance their apocalyptic scheme. When Mr. Hinman refused to cooperate, Mr. Manson sliced Mr. Hinman's throat and severed his ear before Mr. Beausoleil stabbed him to death.
For the record, Charles Manson did not slice Gary Hinman's throat. I don't know where he got that from, but that doesn't really matter, as there's plenty of people out there, including Hinman's family, who are perfectly fine with Bobby Beausoleil rotting in jail forever, since that's what they feel he deserves for killing Gary Hinman.
I mean, I agree.
As for the mystery, though, time slice we did end up grabbing for the minisode, though they don't give us as much budget for the time slices, comes from an interview that Beausoleil did with Truman Capote in 1973, which will have Mathis and Jesse recreate a portion of you now. Mathis is going to be Capote.
Yes.
And you are going to continue
what it sounds Mathis. Like. I want to know your Capote voice.
You're going to
put it in context.
Truman Capote kind of talks like this.
I was going to talk like an Italian because he's Capote.
Okay. Nope, that works for me.
All right. Did you see Manson as a leader? Is that Italian?
He's from the American South, just so you
did
know.
Did you feel influenced by him right away?
Hell no. He had his people, I had mine. If anyone was influenced, it was him. By me.
Do you consider killing innocent people a good thing?
You sound Swedish, kind of.
I just go. I go where fate takes me.
You sound like Always Sunny when Mac tries to do. He's like, I'm a Swedish guy.
Okay, we're going Swedish. That's what he is now.
Take it again, Capote.
Which one did I just?
Do you consider?
Do you consider killing innocent people a good thing?
Who said they were innocent?
The truth is, the LaBiancas and Sharon Tate were and her friends were killed to protect you.
I hear where you're coming from.
Those were all imitations of the Hinman murder to prove that you couldn't kill Hinman, and thereby you got out of jail. I don't know where I am now in the world, but that's...
If a member of our family was in jeopardy, we didn't abandon that person. And so, for the love of a brother who was in jail on a murder rap, all those killings came down.
So interesting to see him say our family when he also claims not to have ever been a member of the family.
Yeah,
but I guess that's what the final mystery of it all is, though, then, is like, did this actually all go down because Charlie feared Helter Skelter and really thought it was happening? Or was this all just some half-baked scheme to get Bobby Beausoleil out of jail that went way too far and got like fucked up beyond all recognition? The author of this article actually did go and ask Manson about it at some point, which is crazy. And he said, quote, "I know who did it, but I'm not telling because I don't tell on other people. That's called ratting, and I'm not a rat. It was not one person. It was a team. Full. It was all. Everybody."
Yikes.
But the truth is...
Stay in prison.
Yeah. The truth is that throughout the article, Bobby goes back and forth and can never really come down on one side of it or the other, and kind of like says yes to being it, like, cause he likes the idea of people looking out for him, but he doesn't like the idea of being like manipulative and creepy and plotty with other people about it. He doesn't want to seem like he still like sees those people as his people kind of, but he likes the kind of fellowship that it gives. And he has also said Charlie told him the Cielo Drive thing was all just about trying to kill Terry Melcher, which is another thing that like, is an alternative to the Helter Skelter theory that we just talked about. But the point is, still, no one knows. And even all these years later, nobody trusts Bobby Beausoleil, not even Governor Gavin Newsom, which is crazy. So I followed up to see what happened to Bobby Beausoleil between 2019 and 2025, and it is grim.
Oh,
for
no.
For six fucking years, no movement on Bobby Beausoleil. And then suddenly, in January of 2025... On January 7th, Bobby is once again recommended for parole by the board. And then once again in May, just 2 months ago, in between dealing with riots, fake riots and ICE raids and threats of his own incarceration from the president of the United States, Newsom still had time to by hand go in and reverse this dude's parole. So that kind of sucks. And it makes me angry, but also not that angry because... I'm not sure what I think happened here. I'm not sure exactly what I think his crime is, but also he was in prison for a certain crime described a certain way. And it's like, I don't know. Like, if you didn't do that a specific crime, should you be in jail? I don't know. I just don't know. It's weird. But that is, in fact, the ballad of Bobby Beausoleil. And if you want more information on Bobby Beausoleil, there is an excellent, excellent, excellent podcast called You Must Remember This. Have you ever heard of that podcast?
No.
No.
You Must Remember This is an incredible podcast that is run by this incredible sort of like Hollywood, like sort of, she's just like a famous, I don't know. The podcast has been around for so super long. Her name's Karina Longworth. She's married to Rian Johnson. She's just like a huge buff about Hollywood. And in season four, which was like in 2015, she did this thing called Charles Manson's Hollywood. It's like a huge big thing on the Manson case. I mentioned it briefly in the episode, but she actually goes a full episode on Bobby Beausoleil in episode six. So if you're interested in Bobby Beausoleil specifically or Roman Polanski, who I might touch next week in this slot, we might talk a little bit more about Roman Polanski because Roman Polanski actually gets involved with some other legal troubles in his life after this that are different than this. And so we can talk about those and just what kind of guy Roman Polanski is, which we might do on the minisode next week. I think we'll see which character emerges from the mist, but I'm still writing that episode because it's very complicated, but we'll see what's going on. That is the minisode for today.
Thank you so much.
Scripted minisode as part of LA month.
And LA month's gonna be fun.
Enjoy it and put your fucking LA stories in the post on Reddit. And we love you and goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.